If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to Revelation 2. We'll be able to look at verses 18 through 29 this morning. 2:18 to 29, if you don't have scriptures. I think it's in the sermon notes as well. Of the seven churches that we've been reading about, this is the fourth one, and Thyatira is the smallest and most insignificant of the cities that Jesus is communicating to. If you were to think about it in today's geography, this is not a New York city, this is not a Pittsburgh of the day, it's more like a Monroeville in comparison. Yet the church here receives the longest communication from Jesus, and so that tells us it's not insignificant to him, it's just as important as the others. G.K. Beale, he helps us to understand some of the context of the city. He writes that Thyatira was an economic center, particularly with a large number of trade societies. Think of trade unions within the city. If you wanted to buy or sell or trade, you needed to be a part of one of these societies, one of these guilds. And what made it a struggle was if you wanted to participate in one of these guilds, you would have to participate in the idolatrous practices of the day to retain membership. The different religious ceremonies of worshiping the different Greek gods and the Roman gods and the emperor as well. So you can imagine as Christians who see Jesus as Lord and him alone, it would make it difficult for Christians living in that city to engage in some of those practices of buying and selling. At times as Christians, you will feel the tensions of worldly pressures of wanting you to conform your beliefs to theirs. The world will constantly pressure you to take the truths of Christ, conform or mingle them with the ways of society. And the battle cry that they will use is tolerance. They want you to be tolerant to their worldviews, to their ideas of how to view the world and how one ought to live. And tolerance is good up to a certain point. We don't go around just killing everybody if they believe different from us. But rather than the world stopping to take notice of what Jesus says and perhaps where they have strayed in truth and conforming to their ways, to Christ's ways, they want you and Christ to stop being so narrow-minded and be like them. They are tolerant of any view except for the notion that Jesus alone is God, Jesus alone is Lord, that Jesus alone has authority over them, and that Jesus is alone who created us, given us the design of how to live our relationships, and he alone is the key to eternal life. They're tolerant unless you hold those things and believe those things. They don't want that to spread. So the church in Thyatira is wrestling with financial survival in the face of worldly pressure to conform to their way of godless living. That in a sense, if they wanted a nice house, if they wanted a steady income, if they wanted to be liked by society, if they wanted to be invited to parties and such, the society would want them to relax some of their standards that Christ calls them to. And then you can be part of us. Those are hard pressures to face in our day-to-day walk. We all have needs. We want to be able to care for our family in not such a stressful fashion when in making our faith known. We want to be liked. We want to be invited. We want to be cool. But at what cost? This is what Jesus is challenging the church in Thyatira and with the church today. They become too tolerant in certain areas, and Jesus is reminding his people that holiness matters, that beautiful living matters, that honoring Christ and his ways in regards to sexual intimacy, fidelity is important because it's connected to your spiritual lives. We are to be intimately connected to Christ to where we will love no other. He is to be king on the throne of our hearts in all things, that he is to have first place. In his communication to Thyatira, Jesus is reminding us today that cultural pressures and pleasures last only for a moment, but perseverance in the ways of Christ leads to an eternal, glorious adventure. God's word is saying to you today, hold fast to Christ, the Son of God, and receive eternal glory and honor through him. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain, meaning that there's nothing in this world that compares to the worth of belonging to Christ and rolling and reigning with him. That's what he's communicating to this church and to us today. Let me pray, and we'll walk through this text this morning. Father, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would give us ears to hear, that we wouldn't shut them, that we wouldn't say, well, that was for 2,000 years ago. This is different now. Lord, we pray that you would cause us to hear your truths and conform our lives into the ways of Christ. Speak to us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers, who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron, as with earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So we begin with our first point, that Jesus wants us to be mindful of the penetrating gaze of the Son of God. Be mindful of the penetrating gaze of the Son of God. In verse 18, he says, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. His feet are like burnished bronze. And go down to verse 23. He says, all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. And I will give to each of you as your works deserve. Be mindful of the penetrating gaze of the Son of God. As believers, we must be cautious that we don't overemphasize the mercy, the grace, and the friendship of Jesus to the neglect of his holiness, of his justice, his wrath, and his discipline. We must be mindful of all the attributes of Christ. He is love, but he also hates willful, rebellious sin and sinners. Here to the church, he reminds them of who he is. He's the Son of God. He's like no other. As Jesus was baptized to begin his earthly ministries, if you remember, after he's baptized, he came out. What did the Heavenly Father say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And as Jesus was on the mountain, he was transfigured, and here the eternal Son of God took on human flesh, and he's standing there, and through his humanity, he just begins, the glory of God begins to glow through him, showing that he's more than just a mere man. The Heavenly Father again speaks. He says, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And when Jesus died on the cross and the Roman centurion was standing by, this, this Roman centurion who's taught to believe in all kinds of Greek mythologies and all the emperor worship and everything else, this Roman centurion who watched Jesus die, who said all those things from the cross and felt the earthquake when Jesus died, the Roman centurion says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus is the eternal Son of God who took on flesh. He is the Alpha and the Omega who holds all authority, and he rules over Caesars, kings, and peoples. He's the Son of God whose eyes are like a flame of fire. When my kids are up to something that I don't like, I give them the eyebrow, we call it. But that's nothing. Nothing like the gaze of Jesus. His eyes are like a flame, a fire. It cuts through all the facades and that we make before people and think we can put up before him, and he melts right through them and sees the intent of our heart. It's like my heart is the center of my being, but in order to conceal my true motives, I put up veneers. I put up this veneer before other guys that I'm tough, I'm self-dependent, I don't need anything. Maybe another veneer when I'm upset or struggling with something, I put up another veneer and just smile and say I'm okay. Or another veneer when I'm in the midst of sin and wickedness and think I can hide it by just doing other kind of great things and put these up. And Jesus has eyes like a flame of fire that burns through those like dried kindling and goes right to our hearts. Our hearts are exposed. Jesus sees. He has authority to judge, and he knows all, and nothing is hidden from him. And he's calling his church, "I know your hearts, and I want you to be holy. I want you to have fidelity in your relationships to me and to those around you. I want your devotion. I want your commitment. Don't be worshiping other things. I am to be on the throne." In verse 23, he says, "I am the one who searches mind and heart." It's like Jeremiah said in 17, Jeremiah 17, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind and give unto each man according to his ways." So be mindful of the penetrating gaze of the Son of God, even right now. Right now, he knows if you're even listening to him or if you're off. Right now, he knows any kind of negative attitudes that you hold towards other people. Right now, he knows the secret thoughts and issues that you think that you're hiding, and his piercing gaze is seeing right through. He says to you, stop. Turn from those things. "I desire you to be holy as I'm holy." Don't be playing around with the twisted pleasures of the world that cuts against the fidelity that we are to have. I am to be your God, and you are to be my people in all things. And so it leads us to our second point, that we are to be alert to the deceitful persuasions that war against Christ and his people. He commends them first, that they are doing well in many areas. He says in verse 19, he says, "I know your works, I know your love, I know your faith, your service, your patience, endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. These are great and wonderful things, but they have fallen to some deceitful persuasions that war against Christ and his ways." And so in verse 20, he says, "I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual morality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead." Jesus isn't playing. He takes loyalty, fidelity, and faithfulness seriously. The church has fallen to the deceitful persuasion of a prophetess that reminds Jesus of Jezebel. She was the wife of King Ahab in the Old Testament, and she was able at that time to persuade the king and the people of the land that it was okay to worship Yahweh, along with all the other things that the culture worshiped. At that time, it was Baal worship. And you could take part of all the religious ceremonies and practices. It would be okay. For the people of Thyatira, with the pressure of needing to be part of these trade societies, these unions that practice the similar things, this lady was convincing the people that Jesus would be okay in the worship and the fornication of the culture around you. And you can see Jesus responds with a holy no. No, not my people. Thyatira was a church that emphasized the mercy, grace, and friendship of Jesus to the neglect of his holiness, justice, wrath, and discipline. They loved doing service for the Lord. They loved to love upon people. They loved sharing Christ with people. But they were tolerating this teaching that you didn't have to be fully devoted to Christ alone. But you could put them alongside these other Roman gods, these other Greek mythologies, these other rituals, be okay. They were being too tolerant. Dennis Johnson writes, he says, Jesus says to this church, I love your love, but I hate your tolerance in these areas. And the deceit was probably taught persuasively. Maybe the prophetess would say things like this, sure, Jesus said he's the only way to salvation. But can you be sure? Do you really think all these other people are deceived who worship differently? Isn't God love and he manifests himself in various ways to different groups? God's loving. As long as you love, you can believe what you want. Just put Jesus in the mix. You'll be fine. Do you hear how Jesus responds to such teaching? He's saying, don't you dare mix me in with these other Greek mythologies. Don't you dare put me in with them. He's saying, stay devoted to me and no other. Be kind of like my wife saying to me, Jeremy, you're my husband. You don't mind if I enjoy this man like a husband, do you? Or how about that one? That would be absurd. And this is why Jesus responds with the rage he responds with. He says, I've given her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual morality. And I will throw her onto the sickbed, and all those who commit adultery with her, I will grow into a great tribulation unless they turn, unless they repent, and I will strike her children dead. Jesus isn't playing around, and he doesn't want you to play around either. He wants your heart. He wants your devotion. When it comes to who God is and how one should live, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Again, the sexual union in a marriage between one man and one woman is to be a picture of the fidelity between Christ and his church. Jesus will not be shared with any other idol or deity. Our culture more and more is putting the same deceitful pressures and teachings on the church and trying to get them to compromise. And the pressures will be real. It could be financial. It could be being ostracized from society. You'll be made fun of. They'll say you're a hater. But in reality, they are the haters. They hate Jesus. And they hate God and anything that they say that goes against what they want to do. He's saying, be alert. Be alert to the deceitful persuasions that war against Christ and my ways. And he says, persevere. Persevere through Christ and roll with him. Our last point. Remember, cultural pressures and pleasures only last for a moment in regards to eternity. But perseverance in the ways of Christ will lead to an eternal, glorious adventure. He says to the church, he says to the rest of you in verse 24, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I don't lay on any more burden. Just hold fast. Hold fast what you have till I come. To the one who conquers, who keeps my works till the end, I will give him authority over the nations. He will roll them with a rod of iron. And when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Jesus says to his people, hold fast, persevere, stay devoted to me. I am God and no other. I am the way of salvation. Superglue your faith to the reality, to the one who overcomes this world. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and no other. Endure in that truth, and you will roll. Roll over your deceitful passions that try to drive you away from fidelity with Jesus, and you will roll the world. Remember, cultural pressures and pleasures just last for a moment. He says, hold fast. Hold fast to me and have an eternal, glorious adventure. And what many believe is the oldest book in the scripture is the book of Job. It's basically a book about Satan testing the faith of this man. He says, Satan goes up to God and says, Job just loves you because you're good to him. He said, Take all those good things, those blessings away from him. We'll see what he does. So God gives him authority. He loses everything. Everything he possessed. He lost his family. He lost his health. And the rest of the book is the struggle of him just trying to figure out what's going on. But he held fast. He stayed faithful. And it says that the Lord restored the fortunes of Job twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And in Matthew, in the gospel, Jesus is teaching. He says in Matthew 19, he says, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, well, who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Peter has this unique question. He says, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. It's hard to grasp everything that means. That's why I can only say, he's saying, don't fall for the worldly pleasures and pressures. That's just for a moment. There's something grand and amazing coming that you can't even fathom right now. This whole idea of rolling and reigning with Christ, what's that going to be like? But the idea that he counts us worthy to be called royalty, to sit on a throne with him and rule the world, that's everything. That's why Paul would say, I count everything as a loss to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He's everything. So he says, as we face the persecution and the pressure, he says, hold fast, stay faithful. There's great things coming. And then he says, I will give to him the morning star. The morning star. From Numbers 24, we see this is a prophecy of Jesus himself. He says, I will give to them me. And in Revelation 22:16, he says, I am the root, the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Having Jesus is like a new day every day. Think of the most beautiful sunrise you've ever seen, the morning star. That's Jesus. He says, I give you myself. I am that morning star. There's nothing grander, nothing better. You possess me. You possess everything. And God's word is saying to you today, hold fast to Christ, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. And receive eternal glory through him. Again, be mindful of the penetrating gaze of the Son of God. Eyes like a flame of fire. Be alert to the deceitful persuasions that war against Christ. Don't fall for them. Hold fast and persevere through Christ, and you will roll with him. Cultural pressures and pleasures last only for a moment, but perseverance in the ways of Christ leads to an eternal, glorious adventure. Believe him. Trust him. Roll with him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to believe. Spirit, give us ears to hear and to believe. May we never compare you to another false god, a false religion, a false hope. Lord, may we never, ever distort your ways, especially in the realm of sexual union. You've designed something beautiful between one man and one woman in marriage to reflect the fidelity and the devotion of Christ and his church. That's what stood out in the Roman Empire. One way to witness to our culture. We will honor Christ with our bodies. He's the great Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is alive, who died and is alive forevermore, has the keys of death and Hades, who gives us himself. And he calls us who believe, friends, able to sit with him on a throne. Lord, help us to grasp in our days what that means. And how to live out of that for your honor and for our good. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.